Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, the 20th of February, 2023. Glad to have you along on the second hour of the big program this morning, along with producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Great to have Mary from Richland Center calling in, giving us some firsthand perspective there from Ukraine. Very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And also very interesting how it's a small world. UW Richland Center is connected to everything, or
right?
Well, for now.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. It just, I didn't even plan that, didn't even think that was going to happen this morning, but one of the beauties of having people call in, which I love, is finding out how integral the campus and Richland Center is. Not just when you think, you know, something like Ukraine comes up, boom, there's a story that involves UW Richland. So it just shows that by losing this campus, or potentially using it, as which was announced by UW System President Jay Rothman last fall, you're gutting the community by doing this. Anyway, we'll have more updates throughout the week on the UW Richland situation. But yes, thank you to Mary for calling in this morning, giving us her firsthand account of being in Ukraine and some perspective there on a local level. 7 minutes now past the hour of 9 o'clock, taking a quick check of your weather forecast for today across the region, particularly the cities that our show goes out to, beginning with our home station in Richland Center, WRCE News from the center. Look for sunny skies today, a high of 41. Then tonight, breezy, a chance of snow and rain, cloudy conditions, a low of 16. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, blustery, then a chance of snow moves in tomorrow night, 31 degrees for a high tomorrow. And then Tuesday night is when the snow starts to really move in. Look for anywhere from 1 to 3 inches possible between tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night, but then the snow keeps coming on. Wednesday, another 3 inches possible, then Wednesday night, maybe up to another 3 inches possible. What Cara from Weatherology is telling us, perhaps by the time it's all said and done on Thursday, a total accumulation of a foot of snow in the Richland Center area possible for this week. Moving up to WXCO in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio for today. Looks like partly sunny conditions this morning, then snow moving in this afternoon, a high of 34 degrees, only about an inch or so possible today, then tonight, snow showers likely, mostly cloudy, a low of 14 degrees. Tuesday, partly sunny, a slight chance of snow showers on a high of 22, and then Tuesday night, once again, storm moving in, 3 inches of snow possible there. And again, over the course of the week or so, maybe about a foot of snow possible in Wausau as well. Moving over to WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory. Snow showers likely today, maybe actually a couple of inches in Amory for today. Then mostly cloudy tonight, blustery, a low of 6. Tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny, snow moves in the afternoon, and a high of 19 degrees. And then, of course, that's when things kind of really start to pick up Tuesday night. More snow there, 3 to 5 inches possible on Tuesday night. Amory, in a winter storm warning or a winter storm watch right now, probably going to be upgraded to a warning. Cara from Weatherology saying that folks in Amory could see between 12 and 18 inches of snow between kind of tomorrow through Thursday. So it's going to be certainly winter returning here in throughout Wisconsin. So keep an eye to the sky. Keep it here on Civic Media. We'll continue to update the forecast for you from the weatherology meteorologists, and maybe rethink some plans midweek if you have to travel, particularly north of Madison this week. 10 minutes now past the hour of 9 o'clock. Time to take a look at what's making news. The headlines today for this 20th of February, 2023. President Joe Biden made a surprise trip to Kyiv today, his first trip to Ukraine since Russia's invasion began nearly 1 year ago. Biden, in joint remarks alongside Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, announced $500 million of additional assistance. Quote, 1 year later, Kyiv stands and Ukraine stands. Democracy stands, unquote, said Biden. The visit comes just days before the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of the country and after multiple invitations from Zelensky, who said he believed it was important for Biden to see the situation up close. The visit also follows in the footsteps of other leaders in Europe who've met with Zelensky. Residents of East Palatine, Illinois, pardon me, Ohio. I keep saying that because there's a Palatine, Illinois. I apologize, folks. East Palatine, Ohio are expressing their anxiety and health concerns after a train carrying hazardous materials derailed earlier there this month. While officials have repeatedly sought to assure residents that the water and air in the community are safe, residents have been reporting rashes, nausea, and headaches. This comes after vinyl chloride was released from the train following the derailment, a chemical that has the potential to kill at high levels and increase cancer risk. The state now plans to open a health clinic in East Palatine on Tuesday for residents concerned about possible symptoms. The Biden administration announced it deployed experts to help assess what dangers remain in the area after Ohio Governor Mike DeWine requested medical teams from the CDC and the U.S. Department of Health. News from New Orleans, a shooting along a Mardi Gras parade route in New Orleans last night left one person dead and injured four others, including a juvenile girl. The gunfire erupted along a route of the popular parade, traditionally held in the run-up to the city's big raucous Mardi Gras celebration on Tuesday. Police said a suspect has been arrested, although it remains unclear what led up to the shooting. An investigation is underway to determine the shooter's motive and whether other individuals were involved. North Korea launched two ballistic missiles into waters off the east coast of the Korean Peninsula today, the second such test in 3 days. Leader Kim Jong-un's sister warned more missile tests are to come unless the U.S. halts military drills with South Korea. Stay with us. We're going to take a look at what's happening in Grant County, Wisconsin, in the meatpacking industry. It will not make for a good appetite. Back with this or more after this on the Todd Allball Show. Todd Allball Show, and it's now 15 past the hour of 9 o'clock. If you're working 9 to 5, that means you're already on the job. We are here from 8 until 11.
And I don't know how you're listening to us if you're already on the job, but...
Well, some people are. Especially like if you work from home now, you can listen to us while you work from home.
Or maybe you're doing a small construction project and you have the radio on.
Or, maybe you're a florist and you're making bouquets, beautiful bouquets, and then you're listening to... Whatever you're doing, it's okay. Just put an earbud in. Nobody's going to know if you got an earbud in, right? We're happy to have you with us on this Monday, the 20th of February. Todd Allball, along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer, and with all of you out there as well, welcoming your calls this morning. Talking about Ukraine in the first hour, going to start talking about a local issue here in Wisconsin this hour. Anytime you want to weigh in, we're always happy to take your call. It's toll-free. Won't cost you a cent. It's area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind this morning. Always happy to take your calls. Whether you're listening to us on WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, WLAK in Amory, or if you're on the Civic Media app. Best way to listen to us, by the way, just download it. Take your smartphone, go to the App Store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, that's Civic Media, and it'll come up. There's a CM logo, kind of a red-brown logo, and click on that, open it up. Go to Other Stations. It's on the left-hand side of the main screen when it pops up, Other Stations. Scroll down till you find WRCE, News from the Center. Click on that, and you can listen to us 5 days a week along with all the other great programs. Soon to hopefully listen to us across the airwaves on other stations across northern and western Wisconsin. We'll get into that. Big news happening on Friday here at Civic Media. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Want to turn our focus and attention this morning to another news story that broke on Friday after we got off the air. And I want to be a little careful here. I have to correct myself because I think I promoted this or talked about it, teased it, if you will, by saying the meat packing industry in Wisconsin. Well, I'd be very careful. It's not about a meat packer in Wisconsin. It's about a sanitation service in Wisconsin who works for meat packers predominantly in Iowa and Nebraska. But This affects all kinds of food that you and I eat. And this is why you should, when you can, shop at your local butcher or locker plant. All right? Just another reason. Not only is the meat 10 times better, not only is it being grown locally, not only are you supporting local cattle farmers, you're supporting local butchers and meat packers as well, locker plants. So here's a story that, remember, this is 2023, folks. 2023, and this is what's happening in 2023. Story from a Wisconsin Public Radio. It's all across the news, but I'm going to use their story. It's written by Joe Schultz. Headline, Wisconsin company pays $1.5 million fine for illegally employing 100 children.
And I don't know about you, but when I saw that, I was like, that's it? $1.5 million?
Right, exactly, Aaron.
But I looked into it, and that was the maximum amount they could be fined.
Right, but a million and a half for these folks?
And that's the maximum.
Ain't nothing.
I can't believe that federally, that's the maximum. It's like a little over $15,000 per child.
Right.
I don't know if that was in the story you're reading, but I just wanted to point out that it's...
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
So, subheadline, federal officials, Packer Sanitation Services, that's the company we're talking about, PSS, Packers Sanitation Services Incorporated, use of child labor was systemic and company-wide. A Wisconsin-based sanitation company paid $1.5 million in financial penalties for illegally employing more than 100 children, federal investigators say, were exposed to dangerous conditions. At least 102 minors between the ages of 13 and 17 worked for Grant County-based Packers Sanitation Services Incorporated. They go by the name PSSI, one of the country's biggest food sanitation companies, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, Wage, and Hour Division. For those of you who don't know, who might not be familiar, Grant County, if you do the old Wisconsin like your hand, is in the lower left part of the state. Basically, it's the county that is in the corner that abuts the Mississippi River and Iowa border and Illinois border. So exactly opposite of Green Bay. So make a diagonal mark down to that lower southwest corner of the state, and that is Grant County. County seat, Platteville, where UW-Platteville is located. So that's where this company is based out of, Grant County. Back to the story now in Wisconsin Public Radio, written by Joe Schultz today. At a media briefing on Friday, the Department of Labor officials said the children worked overnight shifts using hazardous chemicals to clean saws and other high-risk equipment at 13 meat processing facilities in 8 states. At least 3 were injured while working, including a 13-year-old who suffered chemical burns. The U.S. District Court of Nebraska entered a consent order and judgment on December 6th requiring the company to comply with filed federal child labor laws. As a part of the court order, PSSI paid a $1.5 million fine last Thursday, which amounts to $15,138 for every employee under the age of 18. Solicitor of Labor, Seema Nadia, said the court order was critical to completing the investigation and preventing the company from continuing to utilize child labor. To Mr. Zahmer's point earlier, 1.5 for a company like this, 1.5 million, is chump change. All right, chump change. But again, to his point, that was the maximum they could find these folks. Back to the story. Quote, the consent order and judgment requires PSSI to terminate the employment of all minors, hire a third-party consultant to monitor their compliance, and allow the Wage and Hour Division to finish its investigation within 90 days. The consent order and judgment also prohibited any retaliatory action against employees, including family members of minor children employed by PSSI. The Department of Labor launched an investigation into allegations of child labor law in August and filed a civil complaint against the company in November. Later that month, a Nebraska judge ordered PSSI to comply with a federal investigation and to stop employing minors. Jessica Lumen, the principal deputy at Wage and Hour Administrator, said the company's use of underage workers was systemic and illustrates a company-wide failure to follow labor laws. Said it was systemic, meaning this wasn't just a one-off, meaning that they do this all the time. But I think in my earlier comments there, getting a little... this story really ticks me off, to be honest. And I think I said earlier that the county seat of Grant County is Platteville. Of course, Platteville is the biggest city, but Lancaster is actually the county seat of Grant County, so I apologize for that. But this company based in Grant County, providing cleaning services for these big meat packing companies predominantly in Iowa and Nebraska, has a systemic problem, meaning that it's infiltrated, it's inherent in the way that they do business of hiring 13 to 17-year-olds to clean big meat-cutting devices, sharp saws with chemicals throughout a third shift overnight. Back to the story. Jessica Lumen, Principal Deputy Wage and Hour Administrator, said the company's use of underage workers, again, was systemic. Quote, PSSI system, in many cases, flagged that these children were too young to work, and yet they were still employed at these facilities, she said. Employers must take responsibility to ensure that their employees are of legal age to work, and we must all recognize that there are just some jobs that are too dangerous for our children, unquote. While federal investigators were able to identify 102 children who worked for PSSI, officials said they believe the company hired more minors who were not found through the investigation. To comply with the court's order, federal officials said PSSI must identify those children and remove them from employment. Quote, I don't want to speculate as to how far or how many could have been working at any particular time, but we can all do math, said Michael Lazary, Midwest Regional Administrator for the Wage and Hour Division. Quote, we can see the employer has 450 contracts across the country. And with a systemic failure of something of this proportion, it's likely that they may have many more underage workers. In a statement, PSSI said it no longer employs minors identified in the investigation and said many of them had left PSSI years ago. Okay. Quote, our company has a zero tolerance policy against employing anyone under the age of 18 and fully shares the Department of Labor's objectives to ensuring full compliance of all at all locations. A company spokesperson said, quote, we are fully committed to working with the Department of Labor to make additional improvements to enforce our prohibition of employees under the age of 18, unquote. Sounds like a very well-written labor attorney spokesperson writing that.
I'll kidnap 1,000 children before I let this company die.
What was that? What was that from?
That was Mr. Waternoose from Monsters, Inc. They get him to say that and record him.
Oh, very good.
To get him kicked out of the company.
Well, there you go. Back to the story, PSSI is far from the only company to violate child labor laws in recent years. Since 2018, the Department of Labor has seen a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally. A 50% increase. She said those violations could vary from children working more hours than allowed under the law, using specific types of prohibited equipment, or working in industries that shouldn't be. Now, look, I'm not saying that everybody that comes here from a different country legally should have to work these kind of jobs, but my point is that all we hear from conservatives or Republicans is how we don't want people coming here from other countries because they're, quote unquote, taking our jobs. Well, geez, would you rather have children doing these jobs? Or is it not so much that there's a shortage of workers, It's just that companies like PSSI in Grant County don't want to pay the benefits, don't want to pay the money out, the salary for an actual adult worker, and want to hire children instead.
Yeah, it's like one of my science teachers in school said that he had a really lucrative job for a bit, but he felt that company would dump like nuclear waste in the lake to make an extra nickel a year, so he went back to teaching.
We're going to tell you when we come back where these meats come from. What companies do you buy from? What restaurants are supplying these meats? We'll come back and tell you after this on the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show. It is 9:33 on a Monday, the 20th of February, 2023. Glad to have you along with you, Mr. Aaron Zomers and myself here on a Monday, talking about this issue of child labor and the fact that the U.S. Department of Labor announced on Friday this investigation of workers, specifically workers from a plant located in Grant County, based in Grant County, fined $1.5 million for putting kids as young as 13, all the way up to 17, into meatpacking places to clean their products. So the company we're talking about in Grant County is PSSI, or better known as Packers Sanitation Services, Inc. All right? So they send people out, employ people, and other places to clean meatpacking places. And the number one plant that these folks were working in were JBS USA plants in Grand Island, Nebraska, Worthington, Minnesota, and at Turkey Valley Farms in Marshall, Minnesota. All right, so let's make sure that we get this clear. The violation was to the company that cleans the big cutting equipment, sharp saws. The company that cleans this is Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., located in Grant County, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin. So Packers Sanitation Services, Inc. is employed at JBS USA meatpacking plants in Grand Island, Nebraska, Worthington, Minnesota, and Turkey Valley Farms, Minnesota. They had kids as young as 13, as the report points out, most likely do. Because they only checked Department of Labor a few of these plants. And knowing how many employees they have and how many plants, and the Department of Labor found this was a systemic issue, knowing that there are probably other kids out there being employed as young as 13, having to clean sharp saws with chemicals that in some cases are burning their skin. There's actually a photo from Department of Labor showing what looks to be a pretty young person, certainly a teenager, with goggles and like a rubber suit on, but no respirator, breathing in all these chemicals in the middle of the night, down on their knees, cleaning up blood and other things with heavy chemicals at these meatpacking plants in places like Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa. Also in Texas, it appears here as well. Pardon me, there's not one in Iowa. It's Minnesota, Texas, Kansas, and Nebraska.
You know, I say this about a lot of topics. Whenever it's almost always an extremely rich person or an extremely wealthy, like, successful company, and they do something evil, you know, it's really easy to not hire children.
Right, it is. But it's easy if you want to follow the law. But not so much if you want to make every last cent you possibly can.
Yeah, so it's just awful.
But my point is here to folks is what the choices that we make, and I will include myself, the choices that we make when we buy our food products have consequences. All right? Not just from a labor standpoint, but environmental and other things. We make choices every day. And when we go buy food, a lot of times, if we look at our checking account or our debit card, I get it. There's not a lot of choice. You have to buy the cheapest you possibly can because you can't afford to buy the luxury of buying higher priced meat or food items. I get that. I live that. All right? And oftentimes, to Mr. Zahmer's point, in order to comply with the law, you have to pay more as a company. And when you pay more, you have to charge more. And so when you go to the grocery store or wherever you buy your meats, aside from the locker plan, a lot of times you're going to see things that are higher priced, chicken, beef, whatnot. And you have to buy the lower priced item based on what you can afford. And that's a whole other discussion we'll get into this morning in this country about that's why we continue to say we have to pay people more as a society so that they can afford to buy things that aren't being produced by child labor. All right?
The issue is that even still, these companies will say, oh, because of supply chain issues with the pandemic, we have to increase our prices and well, then still cut costs by hiring children.
That happens. That absolutely happens. So I want to get to the meat of it, pun intended. And here's the meat of the situation. All right, here's what you and I could do to actually do something about this. So this company in Grant County, the company that cleans these big machines, these companies, and the one that got in trouble for hiring children and having them injured with chemicals. This company in Grant County, they provide services to a company called JBS Meat. All right? And you ask, well, who is JBS supplying their meat to? And let's not take, and you can find this information a lot of places, but let's not take Todd's word for this. Let's not even take the quote unquote liberal media's opinion of this. Let's go to Fox News, shall we? For people who think I'm making this up. Let's go to foxbusiness.com. Now, the funny thing is, what I'm about to share with you was not compiled for this story. This is from a foxbusiness.com article published back in June 2nd of 2021. Because what happened was JBS Meats had much of their computer systems hacked. So this is a story by Fox News talking about, oh, poor JBS Meats had their computers hacked. So that's the context I want you to understand of this story. But what they did then is they said, well, who is JBS Meats? How is this going to affect us? So, because the thrust of this story was if their computers go down at JBS Meats, it could have a domino effect across the food industry. But I referenced this, and again, you could find it other. Normally, I wouldn't cite Fox News sources. Fox Business is slightly more authentic and real. But for those people who might be listening in Richland Center or Amory or Wausau and say, oh, there's a bunch of hogwash, a bunch of liberals. He's about to tell me I shouldn't go to these places and you know, he's just making this up. Okay, well, here's what Fox News says. JBS, the company that hires this meat or this cleaning business and sanitation business in Grant County, JBS, quoting Fox Business News, the company has 45 brands in the United States. Some namesakes include Swift, Pilgrim's, Blue Ribbon Beef, and Certified Angus Beef, all of which are found in various retail supermarkets and restaurants. For instance, the Swift brand can be found at Whole Food retailers such as Costco and BJ's, as well as grocers such as Food Lion, Weiss Markets, Winco, and Shop and Stop, or Stop and Shop, according to its retail locator. Meanwhile, grocers such as ShopRite and Fairway Markets all sell JBS certified Angus beef brand. The beef is also used at chain restaurants, including the Cheesecake Factory and Johnny Rockets. In its annual Stability 2017 report, the company noted its global customers include, and here it comes, McDonald's, Burger King, Subway, Outback, KFC, Pizza Hut, and Wendy's. JBS, which is a majority shareholder of Pilgrim's Pride, didn't say which other 84 U.S. companies. This goes into the part of the attack that they closed. But the point I wanted to share with you here is this is what Fox News, they're reporting who JBS sells their meat to. And again, you could verify this on other sources other than Fox Business News. But I'll tell you what, grocery stores that I've seen around, including Walmart, when you see that thing, that company called Certified Angus Beef, doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound, oh, it's certified. It's Certified Angus Beef. That's JBS, who's using a sanitation company that's using children to clean their equipment. Where we buy our food, where we choose to buy our meat products matters. We have some wonderful local locker plants in Wisconsin. Search them out. In Richland Center, the Richland Locker. The beef comes from the area, okay? And the other livestock. Slaughtered there. Cleaned there. Packaged there, sold there. Don't go to Walmart to buy your meat. If you can, I mean, I get it. I get it. You can say, well, Todd, that's great to have a luxury. But here's the other thing. Check prices. Sometimes you'll find that the meat sold at a local locker plant is actually not all that much more expensive, if at all, than what you're buying at Walmart. Or what you're buying, you know, in other places, these off-brands. I don't want to call it off-brand because you see the Certified Angus beef label everywhere. How many of us go to Costco? Oh, geez, the meat's cheap there. I've done it. I'll admit it. Is that coming from JBS? Very well likely is. There's a reason they can sell these lower. And it's not just about buying in volume. It's about buying from companies that use sanitation companies that are employing kids who are getting chemical burns. So put that in your mouth and chew on it. Kind of makes it taste a little different, doesn't it? Prem Meats in Spring Green, another great example of a local locker plant, another butcher. Richland Locker, Richland Center, Prem Meats. I'm sure in Wausau and Amory, there are local locker plants as well. They're all over the state of Wisconsin. One of the coolest things that I had the honor of being able to do in all my years in politics when I worked for elected officials is help do town hall meetings. Southwest Wisconsin, South Central Wisconsin. And you discover all these great producers of local products, whether it's dairy, cheese, yogurt. I know those are all parts of dairy. But you get my point. Whether it's meat locker plants, local brewers, local millers of grains. We have wonderful people, entrepreneurs, Wisconsinites, that are producing these things. And yes, it takes a little while to find them sometimes. It might require taking an extra trip. You can't get it all in one place. And again, I hear you. You're telling me, Todd, I got two or three kids. I'm trying to get people bussed everywhere. I might be a single parent. I'm on a fixed income. I haven't got the time nor the money to go off to all these specialty places and buy these things. I get it. I'm simply suggesting to you, if you're able to and when you can, buy locally. Go to your local locker plant. If you go to a local grocery store like Metcalf's here in Madison, much of their meat is processed locally. Some of it isn't, but much of it is. Look and see where you're buying your meat. Look and see where you're buying this, because I'm telling you what I'll include myself in this. I'm not holier than thou. I'm as guilty as anybody else. But where we spend our dollars has a direct impact on our workforce, and in this case, our kids as young as 13 who are being put in overnight shifts to clean these JBS meatpacking plants with chemicals that are burning their skin, without respirators, that are going into their lungs, very likely causing cancer and other diseases. When I read this, it angered me. but it also opened my eyes. Now, am I going to stop going? Well, will I swear that I'll never, ever again go to a McDonald's? Nope, I can't make that promise. I can't do that. But guess what? One company wasn't on this list. How about Culver's? Didn't see them on there.
They're better anyway.
They're better anyway. Be like Giannis. Trust Culver's. That's what Giannis says. Trust Culver's. And trust us as well, hopefully. Back after this and your phone calls on the Todd Oddball Show on Civic Media.
I hope. It's home from which we go.
Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show. It is now 9:50, 10 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. Coming up next hour, going to talk about debunking some campaign information that was out there over the weekend on Joe Biden and his stance on marriage equality and trying to gin people up. We're going to actually play the clips for you in sequence and show you exactly that, you know, people can actually change their opinions and evolve over time as well. You're not going to want to miss it next hour on the Todd Oddball Show. Rounding out this hour, I want to take a few minutes, if you would allow me, be so very kind, to do a little tribute to someone who I met briefly and had a couple of encounters with, but actually knew her partner, her husband, well, and know him well, I should say. Former UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank passed away of cancer at the age of 67. Far too young over the weekend. Great story written by Kelly Meyerhofer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to read you a little bit about Rebecca Blank, who she was as a person, the impact that she made on higher education in the state of Wisconsin, because I think it's always important to, as we say, pause and reflect a little bit. Life is so short, right? We say that all the time. We have to enjoy the time that we have together and make the most of it. And Rebecca Blank was someone who made the most of it and had an impact on the city of Madison, our university system, and this state. An article by Kelly Meyerhofer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Rebecca Blank, who led the University of Wisconsin-Madison for nearly a decade through budget battles and the pandemic, passed away on Friday after a seven-month battle with cancer. She was 67. One of the longest-serving chancellors in recent UW-Madison history, Blank is credited with gaining the ability to enroll more out-of-state students, launching a full tuition scholarship program for low-income Wisconsin students, and leading a $4 billion fundraising campaign. She's remembered for smaller gestures, too, like bringing commencement back to Camp Randall Stadium. And if you ask people like my godsons, not a small thing, actually, for former Chancellor Blank to bring commencement back to Camp Randall Stadium. Quote, "Our community has lost a brilliant leader who cared deeply about making this great public research university stronger, more accessible, better connected to the community and the state, and better positioned to make a difference in this world," said Blank's successor, current UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin. Quote, "Becky inspired faculty, staff, and administrators with an approach to problem solving that combined vision, creativity, and pragmatism." Blank stepped down as chancellor last year to become the first female president of Northwestern University. On what was supposed to be her first day on the job, she sent an email to the suburban Chicago-based school with a subject line, "I'm very sorry to deliver this news." She said she received her diagnosis the week before she was set to begin her presidency. Tim Schmieding, a UW-Madison professor of economics and public affairs who has been a friend and colleague for nearly four decades, said Blank was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which has one of the lowest five-year survival rates of any cancer. Schmieding said doctors told Blank a month ago that she had 4 to 6 months to live. Quote, "It's such a cruel cancer," he said on Saturday. "So fast and so deadly." Schmieding said Blank was a giant in her field and also in academic leadership, a job that's becoming increasingly more difficult as the public questions the value of higher education and lawmakers cast universities as elite and out of touch. Quote, we lost a great mind, Smeeding said. One of the greatest minds and greatest leaders that the university will ever have. Blank's arrival to UW-Madison in 2013 came in the middle of a political firestorm. Republican state lawmakers accused UW-Madison campuses of quietly amassing millions in reserve funds while raising tuition on students. They froze tuition for in-state undergraduates, a freeze that remained in place for Blank's entire tenure. Blank said her biggest challenge came in 2015 when the state legislature removed tenure protection for faculty from state law. Other universities tried poaching top talent, and a misrepresentation that UW lacked tenure formed in the months between the law changes and the UW Board of Regents adding tenure into its policy. The situation was, quote, an existential threat, Blank said. Leading a 65,000-person university through COVID-19 was also difficult. Cases exploded just days into the fall 2020 semester, leading Blank to quarantine two large dorms and move all classes online. Frustration mounted. Some faculty called reopening a failure, but Blank stood by her decision. Over time, cases tapered off, an expensive testing program was put in place, and a vaccination rate of more than 90% was achieved without even mandating the shot. During Blank's tenure, students of color often voiced frustration over the university's handling of racist incidents on campus, like when a Badger fan wore a costume depicting Barack Obama in a noose at a football game, and when a black sorority case was cut out of a homecoming video. The problems of students of color feeling unwelcome on campus predated Blank, but she lamented not making more progress on that front during her final press conference. Blank was born September 19th, 1955 in Columbia, Missouri. And as a child, she lived in Missouri, Michigan, and Minnesota. She was voted most likely to succeed back in high school. Earned her PhD in economics from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and spent decades as a faculty member at Northwestern and also served as Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. She was a senior counsel staff member of the Council of Economic Advisors during George H.W. Bush's administration and served as a member of the council during the Clinton administration. Blank's chancellorship at UW-Madison began in 2008, but a search committee went with Carolyn Biddy Martin instead. Blank spent the next several years in top positions at the Department of Commerce. Quote, Dr. Blank's 4 years serving in my administration was just one of her parts of extraordinary life, said former President Barack Obama on Sunday. Whether in government or academia, she devoted her career to reducing inequality and increasing opportunity for others, and made everyone around her better. Rebecca Blank was a wonderful person, and I'll stop reading the story at this point. And just in my personal reflections, she put the university back on a great financial footing. She was around campus so much, and was a part of the community as well. As I said, I don't want to say that I knew her well. I was introduced a few times. Her husband, Hans Kuttner, was a wonderful client of mine at my coffee shop and would come in multiple times a week. I say hi to the chancellor for me. And a couple of times when there'd be conferences, they'd say, well, hang in there. Hans was in love with his wife. They traveled all over Wisconsin. And my heart and prayers go out to Hans and their daughter Emily today on the passing of Chancellor Rebecca Blank, 67, of UW-Madison. Back with hour number three after this, you're on the Todd Allball Show, and this is Civic Media.